cover with you guys today. Really, really excited about this. Believe it's going to be life transforming. It's going to really be helpful for you, no matter where you're at, as far as your relationship with the Lord. So if you guys bow your heads with me, please. Father God, thank you so much for your great love, your amazing mercy and forgiveness. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you that you are here in this place right now, that you are guiding us and directing us, Lord, and that you have something that you want to say to each one of us today. And so, Father, I pray that we would leave here today having had a true, powerful encounter with you, with your presence, your love, and your goodness. And we thank you in advance for what you are about to say to us. Thank you, God. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, 40 Days of Prayer, Part 3. Pastor Warren has entitled this message, Praying in Five Dimensions. Praying in Five Dimensions. When I saw the title, I immediately thought of the singing group, The Fifth Dimension, because that's how my mind works. Anybody remember The Fifth Dimension? You know, so I had to go and Google Fifth Dimension and look up the discography of the songs, you know, and anybody remember, you know, Up, Up and Away? Yeah. What's another one? One Less Bell to Answer. Oh, yeah. The younger group of kids are like, what's he talking about? Everybody knows Aquarius. Let the sun shine. I mean, I know they had tons and tons of hit songs, but to be honest, I was a little young to be a big, huge fan or whatever, but I do remember some of the main songs. But mainly, I thought Fifth Dimension is a cool name for a band. That's a cool name, the Fifth Dimension. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at the idea of praying in five dimensions, five different dimensions. But before we get into that, I want to share a couple of fundamental things. These are kind of review things. These are fundamental truths that probably all of you guys know, but it's important for us to remember. It's important for us to go over these real quick before we get into these five different dimensions. And you can write these fundamentals down. The first fundamental is that God is a multidimensional God. God is a multi-dimensional God. God's not one-dimensional. He's not two-dimensional. He's not three-dimensional. He's multi-dimensional. The reason that I bring that up and say that and bring that to your mind is that the most important thing that I can teach you about prayer is that your fulfillment in prayer, the satisfaction or fruitfulness as far as your prayer life is going to be dependent not so much on how you pray or knowing how to pray, but how much you know about God. How much you know about God is the most important thing that you need in terms of your prayer life. The more you understand who God is, what God is like, the more effective your prayers are going to be. The more fruitful your prayer life will be, the more satisfying your prayer life will be. It's not just about learning the mechanics of praying. You know, I got to follow certain rules, or there's certain patterns, or there's certain things that, you know, ways to approach God. Those things are important, but not nearly as important as understanding who God actually is. And so you have to start with the fact that he's a multidimensional God. Now, you can see that in a lot of different ways, and I'll share some of these ways that you can see where it's just obvious that God's multidimensional. First one, you can write this down. We see this in God's creation. We see it in his creation. All you have to do is just look around, especially where we live here in the foothills. The God who created a multidimensional world, a multidimensional universe, is obviously a multidimensional creator. Now, as far as dimensions, there are dimensions that we know about, that we are aware of, things that we can see and things that we can touch. But there are dimensions that we don't know anything about. I mean, scientists still debate today how many dimensions there actually are. And then there's dimensions that we know about, but yet we can't see, right? The Bible talks a lot about the spirit realm. We know about the spirit realm, but we can't see it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen in what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You can learn a lot about God just by observing nature. For instance, you can see that God likes variety just by looking at nature. You can see that God is creative just by looking at nature. You can see that he's organized just by looking at nature. You can see that he's powerful just by looking at nature. Just anybody ever been in a hurricane? I have. Let me tell you, anybody been in an earthquake? Yeah. I have. It's obvious God is mighty. He is powerful just by looking at nature. So the Bible says, because of that, we have no excuse. It's obvious that God is multidimensional. I'll tell you, for me, it takes more faith to be an atheist than to believe in God. Yeah. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort to be an atheist. Because everything about our world points to the issue of design. And if there's design, there has to be a designer. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't have enough mental energy to try to prove that there isn't a God when it's just so, so obvious. In Job chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, I love this. Job and God are having a conversation, and Job is complaining. He's complaining about his life and how things have gone or whatever. And you know how complaining starts to then turn into accusation? Anybody ever notice that? First you start off with complaining, and then it kind of moves into, questioning another person's character or whatever. And speaking of that, how come you, and why didn't you, and so he starts doing this with God, and God goes, hey, hold up, Job, hold up. Let me ask you a question. And God says this to Job, can you fathom the limits and bounds of the greatness and power of God? The sky is no limit for God, but it lies beyond your reach. God knows the world of the dead, but you don't know it. In other words, there's a whole other realm. There's other realms that God knows about that we don't know about. He goes on, he says, God's greatness is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. Man, it's never a good thing when God starts referring to himself in the third person to you. You notice that? You guys remember Ricky Henderson, the baseball player for the A's? He used to always talk about himself in the third person. It was hilarious. Ricky loves baseball. Ricky's fast. When God talks to you and refers to himself in the third person, you better watch out. God knows the world of the dead, but you don't know it. God's greatness is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. So we know that God is a multidimensional God just by his creation. His creation shows the complexity of who he is. There's another way that we see God's multidimensional nature, and that is we see it in Jesus' incarnation. Jesus' incarnation. Incarnation is simply is a word that simply means God becoming flesh. When God came to earth and became a human being, he came one of us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, the Word, speaking of God, became flesh, became human. John 1:14 says, the Word became a human being and lived among us. We saw, we eyewitnessed his glory, and he was full of grace and truth. It was an eyewitness account. People saw it. It wasn't just a concept or something, a story or fable. People witnessed it. Friday night, there was the greatest upset in the history of the NCAA basketball tournament. A tiny little school from Maryland defeated the number one school in the nation Friday night. The greatest upset in the history of the tournament. Over 135 games, and it finally happened. But here's the crazy thing about it. Before that game, because people just knew this number one team is going to destroy this little school, scalpers were begging people to buy the tickets to the game for $10. After the game, people were begging scalpers to get into the arena just so they could say, I was there that night when it happened. Can you imagine that? They weren't even at the game. Just to be able to say, I was in the building. I was there that night when it happened. And yet John says, we were eyewitnesses. We were with Jesus. We saw. We experienced. We were there with him. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know anybody else like that? How about you? Are you the same today that you were yesterday? We need to pull out some high school yearbook photos. Whoa! Now. Of course not, man. Between yesterday and today, you lost some hair, added a few wrinkles. So what is this saying? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It means he's not bound by space or time. He's multidimensional. He's God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it says, grace and peace to you from him, speaking of Jesus, who is and who was and who is to come. There's nobody else like that. He's multidimensional. Another way that we see that he's multidimensional is we see it in how the Holy Spirit moves. How the Holy Spirit moves. So we see it in the whole Trinity. We see it in God the Father. We see that the Father is multidimensional, the Son is multidimensional, and the Holy Spirit. John 3, verse 8, Jesus says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everybody born of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. You don't know where it comes from, where it's going. You can hear the sound, but that's it. The Holy Spirit moves in dimensions that we don't move in. Job 9, verse 10 through 11, speaking of the Spirit, He says, he does wonders that cannot be understood. He does so many miracles, they cannot be counted. When he passes me, I can't see him. And when he goes by me, I don't recognize him. So that's the first fundamental, that God is a multidimensional God. Here's the second fundamental before we get into these five dimensions, is that because God is multidimensional, I'm never alone. I'm never, ever, ever, ever alone. Because God's multidimensional, he's in the past, he's in the present, he's in the future. God's already in your future. He's on earth, he's in heaven. He's in you, he's out of you. He's in the spirit realm or spirit world. He's in your world, my world. Here's what David says in Psalm 139. Where could I go to escape from you, God? Where could I ever get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you'd be there. If I flew way beyond the east or lived the farthest place to the west, you'd be there too. To lead me, you'd be there too to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even darkness isn't dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Here's a little tip. Don't ever try to play hide and seek with God. Because wherever you hide, he's already there. God is everywhere. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, God is everywhere. And that should encourage you, because that means that there's no place that you go in the future where he's not already there. There's no situation that you can find yourself in where God is not there. And so what does all that have to do with prayer? Actually, it has everything to do with prayer. Because if God is multidimensional, if he's in every dimension, if he's everywhere that you could possibly go, that means that you can talk to God about every dimension of your life, and he understands it. He's already there. So now I want to get into these five different dimensions of prayer. One way to look at these are tools for your prayer toolbox, if you will. I'm going to show you five different dimensions of your life that you can pray about, and also you can think of it as a method or a way to pray. And so for those of you that are new to all of this, this is going to be really, really cool for you. For those of you that have been walking with God for a while, it may add some things to your prayer toolbox already. So here's the first dimension. Got five of these. First dimension is when I pray, I look backwards to the cross. I look backwards to the cross. So instead of starting my prayer time with God complaining or looking at my problems or focusing on my issues or whatever, I start with what I'm grateful for that happened at the cross. I start with being grateful. I start with an attitude of gratitude because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. It's a great place to start your prayer life, is focusing on what God has already done for you on the cross. Now, when I think about the cross, when I think back, and I think about what Jesus did for me on the cross, I immediately think of three different things. First of all, how deeply God loves me. You can write these down. How deeply God loves me. How costly evil and sin is. And third, how completely I'm forgiven. When I look back on the, when I look back to the cross and think about what Jesus did for me, I can immediately think of those three things. How much God loves me, how costly evil and sin are, and third, how much I've been forgiven. It's a great place to set the tone, to start your prayer time with God, looking back at the cross. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, check this out. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. Some translations say, God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you were living. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Do you want to know how much something is worth? The way to know what something is worth is it's worth whatever anyone is willing to pay for. Have you ever wanted to sell something and were surprised when you got offered more than what you expected? And you realize, wow, I didn't know that old car was so valuable, or that house was so valuable, or that baseball card collection. I didn't know it was worth that much. But as long as somebody was willing to pay that, that's what it's worth. Conversely, have you ever tried to sell something that you thought was valuable and found out that nobody else agreed with you? Right? Yeah. Like, man, that really meant a lot to me. And another person's like, I don't care. It's junk to me. It's all about what someone's willing to pay. How much are you worth? Have you ever thought about that? In the world says that what's on your paycheck determines what you're worth. How about this? Your credit score. Some people are like, oh. Other people say, what's in your 401k? Your retirement account determines your worth. What does the IRS say you're worth? But if you really want to know what you're worth, you look at the cross. The cross determined what you're worth. So God paid a ransom. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God sent His Son to pay for you. That's how much you're worth. God did for you and He did for me what we couldn't do for ourselves. We were in too deep. There's no amount of money that we could have come up with to pay for the debt that we owe because of the things that we've done wrong. And God said, you know what? I love them. I'll do it. I'll pay. I'll pay for them. And He gave His life. He gave His Son. And so when you pray, the first thing you can do is look back on the cross. Look back at the cross. Look back at what God has already done for you. You see how much God loves you, how costly sin and evil is, and how completely you've been forgiven. One of the great ways to do this, and we talked about this yesterday in the small group, one of the great ways is to not only have a prayer list, but to have a playlist. Because there are certain songs that resonate with you, There are certain songs that help you look back at the cross. You know, how about I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah. I am a child of God. Push play on that. Think about the cross. Instantly, you're there. You're right there. So you need a playlist, not just a prayer list. So the first dimension is I look backwards to the cross. Second dimension is when I pray. Next, after that, what I can do is I can look upward into my Father's loving face. First dimension, I look back. Second dimension, I look up into my Father's loving face. First thing that you want to focus on when you do that is that God wants you to see Him as Father and not as your drill sergeant or your supervisor or officer or whatever. He wants you to look at Him as Father. And in the small groups, you know, Pastor Warren really covered this quite a bit as far as the fact that it's interesting that when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, the first thing Jesus said to them was basically, God wants you to call Him Father. That's the first thing. Call Him Father. At that particular time, that was incredibly radical thinking, because people didn't pray to God that way. People didn't think of God that like that. Let me ask you, when you pray, do you call God Father? This week, every time you pray, call Him Father. Instead of God or Lord or Thou Most Holiest of Potentates or whatever, however you pray, call Him Father. See if you can do it. See if you can do it. You know, even for me, this past week, I've been doing that, and I keep finding myself saying other things that I'm so used to saying instead of just Father. The way that you see God is going to control your life more than any other thing. It's what we talked about earlier. The way you see God is going to determine how fruitful and fulfilling your prayer life is. Have you ever noticed that the way you address someone or the way you're addressed sets the tone of the conversation? When people come up to me and they say, Reverend Lee, I know right away this is going to be formal, right? Some of you guys are like, hey, Seth, that's different. That's a different conversation than, excuse me, Reverend Lee. Like, who's that? where is he? Can I be honest? Some of you guys, when you pray, you sound like you're applying for a loan at the bank. Or you're about to go through a deposition with, you know, or a lie detector test with the FBI. I don't want to say the wrong thing. It's your Father. He's your Father. How you see God is going to determine how much you enjoy prayer. In Romans 8, it says, you should not act like cowering, fearful slaves, since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family. Instead, by His Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father, and God's Spirit affirms that we really are His children. And since we are now God's children, we're also heirs with Christ, and we will share both in His suffering and His glory. It's easy to tell what people think about God. All you have to do is listen to them pray. Just listen. Listen to their prayers. Do they talk to God like He's their Father, He's their Abba, their Daddy? Or is it a more formal thing? Now, there's three things that I want to share about this, and they're in your notes as well. The first one is that God wants my prayer to be personal. He wants my prayer to be personal. Have you guys ever noticed that that you're often more honest in a personal setting as opposed to a formal setting? You know, like say at work, you have to be careful what you say when you're in the boss's office, right? But then a smart boss will take you outside of the office and say, okay, on a personal note, let's get on an informal, tell me what you really think. Well, now I can say whatever I really, what's real, as opposed to the formal setting. God wants you, your prayer life, to be personal. He wants you to be able to be honest, be straight, be open. The next thing, number two, God wants my prayers to be passionate. It says, cry out. We cry out, Abba, Father. Little kids have no problem with crying out. Little kids will cry in the mall, in the most inopportune moments, public moments or whatever, because they don't care. They're unpretentious. They're open. They're honest. They're real about how they feel. Do you ever pray like that with God? Or do you pretend, even though you're all upset, you pretend like you're not? It's like as if God doesn't really know what's really going on, right? I mean, do you guys understand that God has emotions, right? God gets angry. God, you know, the Bible says that God can be a jealous God. He has all the emotions. Why do you think you have emotions? It's because you're created in the image of God. You have emotions because God has emotions. So God wants you to be honest. He wants you to be open in your prayer life. There really ought to be some things in your life that make you mad. There should be things in your life that frustrate you. And so you cry out to God. God wants my prayers to be passionate. Third, God wants my prayers to be a partnership by His Spirit. He wants my prayers to be a partnership by His Spirit. This is one that I really, really love, and I wish I could spend more time on this. Because prayer is a conversation between you and God, that means you shouldn't be the one that does all the talking. Say amen or oh no. God wants to talk to you too, because there's a partnership element that's involved. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. We often don't even know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us, even begs God on our behalf with deep groanings and feelings. He even begs God on your behalf with groanings and feelings that words cannot express. This is one of the most powerful parts of prayer, and that is there's times that God will speak to you and tell you what to pray for. Those of you that are parents, you can probably relate to this. Times when God maybe wake you up in the middle of the night and tell you to pray for your kids. And you find out the next day something happened. And your prayers helped, God rescued your kids or did something in answer to that prayer. I can tell you guys so many stories, times when literally, I was in one place, maybe even in another state, and God told me to start praying for my wife about something. And I find out later that she was in mortal danger, and God rescued her at that moment. We're like, what time was that? It was at this time. Oh my gosh, that's exactly when God told me to pray for you. That's the partnership that we have, that God wants us to have with Him. Tons and tons of stories about that. All right, so number three, the third dimension. This is the good one. I look inward to Jesus living inside me. I look inward to Jesus living inside me. Did you guys know that Jesus is inside you? If you prayed and asked God to come into your life, when you became a Christian, when you stepped across that line, Jesus comes in you. Now, if you haven't invited him into your life, then he's not. But if you've become a Christian, if you prayed that prayer, you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, Jesus is in you. Now, since he's in you or in me, I know that I'm unconditionally loved by God the Father. I'm a child of God. I am in the family of God. That gives me freedom. That gives me courage to honestly face up to my faults. Because I know, Jesus, that you're in me, but I also know that there's some other stuff in me with you right now that I really don't want it to be there. There's some bad attitudes in there. There's some unforgiveness in there. There's some compulsions, some addictions in there. There's some hate in there. There's hurtful memories. There's all sorts of stuff in there with you. And now I can honestly, because I know I'm loved, I know there's nothing about me that you don't know, God. Now I can ask, will you please help me get rid of these things that are in there that I know you don't want there, you don't want to be in there, and I know I don't want to be in there any longer. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourself. Notice it didn't say examine somebody else. Examine your wife. Examine your husband. Examine your kids. Examine your parents. It says examine yourself to see if your faith is real and growing. Test yourself. Remember that Jesus is living in you unless you failed your test. The only way you can fail your test is if you've never invited Jesus in your life in the first place. But if Jesus is in you, you need to remember that, and you need to constantly be thinking about, am I good? What does God want me to deal with next? That's hard work. That's hard work. That's this step, this dimension is where so many people quit. So many people, like, whatever happened to so-and-so? They used to be in church every week, and now they're gone. What happened? The third dimension happened. The test yourself, the look at yourself, be honest and be straight and be willing to change. That's what happened. Because before I can get better, I've got to admit what's bitter. I have to admit what's bad. You know, we love we sing about and we love the thing, the truth will set you free, which is true. The truth will set you free, but first, it's hard. It's miserable. Because there's no change without trust, and there's no trust without truth. And so first I have to be honest. Proverbs 28:13 says, if you try to hide your sins, you will never succeed. But if you humbly confess and reject them, you will receive mercy, and you get another chance. Here's the good news, guys. God already knows your stuff. He already knows my stuff. There's no secret. There are no secrets with God. God already knows, and He still loves us. But man, keeping the secrets and doing all that is so exhausting. Such a waste of time. Just be honest, be straight. A great place to start with this is this area when I self-examine is to look at what kind of fruit my life's producing. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. That's where we want to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. So that's a great self-test. Is love growing in me? Is my joy growing? How about peace? How about patience? How patient was I this past week? What do I need? What of these areas do I need to work on to see growth happen? All right, you guys survived the hard one. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just preaching to myself. You mean? I don't get an exemption. All right, so here's number four, if you're still with me. Fourth dimension. I look around and I ask the Holy Spirit to use me. So I look back, I look up, I look in, and now I look around and I ask the Holy Spirit to use me. This is the fourth dimension of prayer. This is the most dangerous prayer you can pray. I dare you. I dare you to pray this prayer. Or as the Christmas story, I double dog dare you to pray this prayer. Because if you pray this prayer, God's going to answer it. So don't come up to me later and go, well, you didn't say He was going to actually answer it. Yes, I did. It's on tape. It's recorded. If you pray this prayer, God will answer it. That's why it's dangerous. Ask the Holy Spirit to use me. The world is waiting for you. So that means instead of criticizing everything you see, instead of complaining about all the problems in the world that you see, instead of judging all the issues, the problems, instead of whining, instead of posting on Facebook, why don't you just say, God, show me what you want me to do about it. Show me how I can make a difference with the problems that are out there in the world, that are in the community, at my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my church, or wherever it might be. Use me, God, to make a difference. I dare you to pray that prayer. Because if you do, God will answer that prayer. Romans 6, verse 13 says, give yourself completely to God, every part of you, since you've been given a new life. And you want to be used. You want to be used as a tool in the hands of God, used for His good purposes. Because God says, I want to use you. I've created you for a purpose, to do something great, to make a difference in the world that you live in, the generation, the time, the location that you live in. Guys, if you've never felt what it's like to be used by God, I feel bad for you. Because there's nothing in the world like being used by God for His purposes. There's nothing. And I can tell you honestly, I've had the honor to get to do some amazing things. Just to be able to play the instrument that I play, the gift to be able to do it is awesome. But I've played for over 100,000 people at a time. I've played on the world's greatest stages. I've played with some of the world's greatest musicians, Hall of Fame musicians. I've done all of that. I've traveled the world. I have an amazing family. My kids are killing it. And there's nothing compared to being used by God. I walked away from all of that because I had a taste of what it was like to serve God, and literally walked away from all of that. If you haven't been used by God, if you haven't experienced that, man, you're missing it. You're totally missing it. So you pray the prayer, God, use me. However you want to use me, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, show me what that is. Because the world desperately needs you. You guys are smart. You guys are gifted. You guys have a heart for God. You guys are talented. There's incredible talents in this church. God wants to use you to make a difference in our world. He wants you to make a contribution. I'm making a contribution. Are you? Are you making a contribution? You were made for more. You know, there's all the commercials and stuff that you see there. They love those taglines. And I was made for this. Whatever. No, you were made for God. You were made by God to do something great for God. That's what you were made for. God, use me. And can I just give you guys some advice? Stop waiting for some magical thing to happen to show you what you're supposed to do. Stop waiting. Stop stalling. Stop waiting and, you know, one day He's going to give me a great idea and I'm going to be able to do it. You'll be waiting forever. Just do what you're good at doing. Just do normal stuff. And do it with all of your heart and see where God goes with that. By the way, I wasn't the one that came up with that. That was Mother Teresa. But stop waiting for some magical thing to happen. Do you know what God told Luann years and years and years and years ago? He told Luann, just write songs for me. I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Luann just writes songs. She just writes songs. And just by writing songs, it turned into a recording career, a worship leader. She helped plant two churches. She goes to the Philippines for 10 years in a row. She's led tens of thousands of people to the Lord, all with just simply doing one little thing that God just said, just write songs. Just sit at home, piano, and just write songs. Don't wait. Just do what you do. Do what you're good at. Allow God to use you. But you have to pray that prayer. Ask God to use you. That's the fourth dimension. Last, fifth dimension. The last one. I look forward to my future in faith. I look forward to my future in faith. So I look back. I look up. I look in. I look around. And now I look forward to my future in faith. This looking forward could be my schedule for my day, my plan for the week, my goals for the month, my year plan, my life plan. You're looking forward at this point. Talk to God about the things that are ahead for you. Maybe it's, God, I need you to help me with my priorities for this day. I've got 10 different things to do, and I need to know what to focus on, or just anything to do with moving ahead. As a parent, I love to talk to my kids and hear them tell me about what their dreams are. I love to hear them talk about what's ahead for them, or what they're planning, what they're doing. I'll talk to my kids and go, so hey, what's coming up? You know, and they'll go, well, I got this and blah blah blah. You know, I was telling John today, you know, talked to my daughter, and she was like, I just left New York. I just landed in Chicago, and then I'm going to Japan, and then I've got a session with blah blah blah. And you know, I just love to hear that. I love to hear about what's ahead for them. God loves to hear what's ahead for you. For you to involve him in the process of what's going on in your life. One of the common suggestions for people in personal development is this idea of they encourage you to build what they call a mastermind council. In other words, surround yourself with really smart people that can help you and mentor you and guide you and all of that. And that's a good thing. I totally agree with the whole mastermind council thing. But can I recommend some members of your mastermind council? How about the Trinity? How about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How about involving them as far as your future? How about involving the foolproof manual of life in your plan? You'll make a lot less mistakes. You'll waste a lot less time with this. The more you use this book, the more confident you're going to be. Philippians, I want to close with this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I am confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I am confident of this. This verse probably had more meaning for me when I first became a Christian than any other. Just the idea of, okay, from this point on, God is going to help me reach the goal line. I'm going to put my trust in him, and he's going to, no matter what happens in my life, God's going to finish what he started in me. You know, another way to kind of think of it is God's already wired things in you to get to the goal if you will do it, if you will trust Him. So that's the five dimensions. First, you look back. Then you look up. Then you look in. That's the hard one. And you look around, and then you look ahead, you look forward. I'm hoping that this will help you as far as your prayer life and give you some ideas, give you a method, if you will. I want you guys to bow your heads right now. Just want to pray over you. Father God, I just want to lift up everyone that is here. God, I thank you so much for your amazing, amazing love for each one. God, no matter where they're at, no matter what they've done, and no matter what they do from this point on, God, your love for them will never change. And God, also, I thank you, Lord, that you've helped us see just how costly sin and evil, just how costly they are. And that, God, that in spite of that, because of your great love, you sacrificed yourself for us. You gave your all for each one of us. And that because of that, Lord, we can be completely forgiven if we have received from you, received your love and forgiveness. So God, I just pray that you will bless each person here. I pray that all of our prayer lives would be ignited as we follow these five dimensions, God, as we pray in these different ways. I pray, Lord, that you will seal your word in our hearts, that we would leave here today with tools to know exactly what to do to make our lives, our prayer lives, more fruitful. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Is this on? Can you hear me now? That was a good word. No, I'm not kidding. That was a good word. High five. We're blessed. No, I'm kidding. Not kidding. We're blessed. Yeah. I need a wireless. Somebody go buy a wireless. Well, you've heard how to do it. Now we get to do it.